The video version of this episode can be found at patreon.com/flagtimepodcast.
And she's right here.
That's a Millie.
He has the ADHD documentation.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I do.
Co-host of The Smoking Tire, Zach Clatman, joins our podcast this week on Flag Time. Hello and welcome to the Flag Time Podcast, the automotive service podcast that talks a lot about not that. My name is Serrated Mobius, where you can find me on Instagram and YouTube. Real name is Eric Braxton. I'm joined here with Pixie 4.6 and Stirworks, as always, but today we have a very special guest with us. Producer and co-host of The Smoking Tire, Zach Clatman, has joined us in our Discord chat room today, formerly of the NBC Sports Network and Haggerty. Thank you so much for joining us, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, this is super rad.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's like I said before we started recording, this is probably going to be the dumbest podcast you're ever going to be a part of. So,
it's yeah,
very dumb.
Some
show.
Of our early shows were pretty stupid. they were real off the rails and on the marijuana. And I don't know what else have I done. I don't know, but it's fun. Like I don't know. I just like talking to meeting new people. And you guys had the show. I listened to you guys had enough of a rhythm. I mean, you all have very professional audio setups, so you're taking it somewhat seriously. You're on episode, how many episodes have you done, like 40?
This is 48, I think.
Ooh,
or 49, good. Somewhere if, around there.
You're nearing 50. I mean this genuinely, that is a solid milestone for starting and like continuing a podcast. If you're on episode 4, I probably would have said no, because you might give up at number 7.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But 48, I mean, look, your Discord's busy, you guys have Patreon, you guys are doing it. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Yeah. That's some big praise right there.
I don't know if you're doing it well. I just know that you're doing it.
When we started this podcast, I was very much talking about how this is a very low effort podcast. But once we started the Patreon, it actually became a second job. So it's a big time. And as you're a producer of a podcast, you know all about that probably.
Yeah. And if you guys are managing a full Discord and all that stuff, that is another level.
Managing the Discord is a strong word.
All right, maybe you set it up and you just let it run.
That's it.
We have a bot
in there.
A very special person managing the Discord, actually. People will know him by the name of EM2 Yuki. He's our moderator.
Okay, I was wondering which version of which way of special you were going with it.
Oh, he's a special boy. Yes. We love him though.
Yes.
He's a good guy.
But yeah, when it comes to the Smoking Tire, you guys talk about like really expensive cars when it comes to the consumer side of things.
Yeah. Well, I would say that we talk about any fast sports car, supercar, etc. The problem, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, is there are fewer and fewer like consumer grade, you know, entry level, cost effective sports cars. It's like everything is being pushed up to $100,000. I mean, there's exceptions, but
ridiculous.
Jason Kamisa did a great video a little while ago showing how many different sports cars were available in the 90s from Mitsubishi, Nissan, like you just normal everyday car companies. So many. I mean, it was like over a dozen. And now it's like you got, you know, Ford. Chevy got rid of the Camaro. It will probably come back. There's just far fewer things available for people. And that sucks. So we talk about expensive stuff sometimes, but we always gripe about the fact that so many of the good cars are now expensive.
Yeah. Like anything really fast is over $50,000 now.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, you can get an entry level Mustang GT, but it's going to put you in like, I think the low 40s.
Which is stupid.
You know, you can get a GR86, which is a really fun car, but it's not fast. So you have to be into driving, braking, steering, feel. You can't just be a glutton for speed and noise, because it's going to give you neither.
Mm-hmm. It's a momentum car, pretty much.
It is. Yeah. It's a fucking great car, but it's kind of slow. I think that's why the used car market, you know, like COVID and all the other things factored into it. But all of us have been pushed towards the used market because the new cars, partly they don't give us what we want. There's too much tech and there's not enough manual transmissions and stuff. But I think also if you're looking at spending, you know, $54,000 on a like Mustang GT or more, if you want to get a Mach 1, and or you turn around and go, well, on the used market, I can get a GT350 or drop down to a 5-year-old Mustang GT and probably get it for in the 30s. Like, you're saving $20,000. Yeah. Sure.
When they used to be brand new for 30 grand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Inflation. I don't know if they've outpaced inflation. No, it's true. Because, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but the M3 has actually come down in price very slightly from where it was in the 90s. It's down like $2,000 if you adjust for inflation. But that's how crazy, you know, my car, I have an 02 M3. When it was new, it was like $55,000. And now a new M3, they start, I think it's 68, and they get up into the 80s really, really quick. So they have just price increased with inflation from the, since the 90s.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that M3. Is that the car that you started wrenching on that you mentioned in the messages?
No, the first car I ever worked on was, well, I think the first car, my best friend in high school, he was a year older than me, and he had a 55 Chevy pickup truck.
Oh, wow.
Like long bed, single cab, not short cab, you know, where the back seat is a church pew, or the front seat's a church pew. It's up against the wall and like three on the tree. And so was very mechanically inclined still. I mean, that's become his job. He was a VW tech and, now does, camper van conversions. So he wanted to upgrade his car. And so I'd go over there and be like, what are we going to do today? You know, you want to play PlayStation? Cause he had PlayStation. He's like, no, we're going to put a new intake manifold on my car. So
what
I learned, I mean, back then you could do that with, it was like 9/16 bolts. So I learned on that.
It was easy.
I got a 65 Pontiac, when I turned 16. And so I learned a wrench on that because it broke a fair bit. And sometimes I would break things on it trying to repair it.
That's kind of how it goes when you're starting.
That's a canon event. That's what they call
it. Like, well, I broke that. Fuck. Yep.
Oh, I got to fucking tap this bolt and reverse and pull it out. Shit.
Like, I broke the extractor off in the hole. Cool.
God damn.
Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the Flag Time Patreon.
That's literally where we're getting all of our funding from.
Flag Time Patreon is where you can see the video versions of all of our episodes from episode 30 onwards. We have three tiers that you can choose from. $3 tier that just lets you see the video episodes outright. A $6 tier that lets you see the video episodes and a bunch of other extra content, including access to our Discord. And a $15 tier that Pixie doesn't think you have the balls to get. $15 a month gets you everything that the $3 and $6 tiers get, including a shout out at the end of the episode. And also a listener interaction exclusive portion of the podcast specifically catered towards you guys. The Flag Time Podcast Patreon. Subscribe today to see.
Hi, Stirworks here. We here at Flag Time want to let you guys know that Apple has required Patreon to use their in-app purchasing system and remove all other billing options from their iOS services. This means that Apple's 30% App Store fee will be added to our existing tier prices, ramping up the cost. We want you to avoid this by using your browser on your Apple device for any Patreon purchases after November of 2024. Doing this bypasses the 30% App Store fee and doesn't allow an already successful corporation to nickel and dime you as the consumer. Existing supporters don't need to worry, as this only affects new members. Thank you for your attention, and we appreciate your continued support of this dumbass show.
Do you guys have any questions for Zach?
I have a few. I'll save mine for later.
Okay.
I have a very simple question, but it might spark a big long conversation.
What about you, Pixie?
I have none. I'm just kind of
what.
I don't consume media.
Since Sterling wants to wait for a little bit, I do have a question.
Well, I could just.
Okay.
My question is, what is your favorite thing about cars? Like, it's simple, but it's
thought provoking.
You know, there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into that. Like, you can maybe narrow it down to like three things.
Yeah. Okay. That's easier. How they look, because I think that's the first thing for me. I'll, you know, like many people, I will excuse a lot on a bad car if it's good looking.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, like Alpha 8C. oh my God, yeah. It's so fucking gorgeous. And everyone's like, oh, they don't drive very well. I do not care.
Yeah, look at it. Who gives a shit? You
know, yeah. So I think styling probably grabbed me when I was a kid because I just went, oh, what's that one? What's that one? Mm-hmm. And I was into drawing cars badly as a kid.
Yeah.
And
you go through a phase.
Another life, I would have gone into automotive design. So I think style is probably the first one. I'd say sound is the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And then how they drive, which is like, I'm definitely lumping a bunch of things together there. But if a car has, even if it has like great steering, but the transmission's dog shit, then that kind of like,
yeah,
that's mm-hmm. big, like
it, one all, little thing I'm can take it away. It
needs to feel pretty good. Yeah. And it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. Like have a decent shifter, have good steering feedback.
Yes.
Some people care about clutch feel. I don't give a shit. Like I'm not interacting with the clutch very often.
Smacking that thing on the floor and bringing it back out.
I'm just shifting. Some people are like, oh, the clutch feel's not great.
I don't need that.
What? I don't. Yeah. I think those would be the three, though. Yeah.
You're driving in traffic too much.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
True. Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, you recently had the legend James May on the
Smoking
Tire.
Yes.
How was that experience having such a I repeat myself, but having such a legendary guest on your show?
It would go surreal and then it would feel very natural and then it would go mm-hmm. surreal and it would did that for 90 minutes like in my brain. So I think there about 6 years ago when it's like I'd been in this job for a long time and it was kind of heading somewhere. I had a thought. I was like, I bet I'll be able to meet one of the Top Gear people one day. It just
mm-hmm.
like the car That's world cool. is not that big. And I didn't know how it happened. I just went, I just think it will probably happen at some point. And then, so I had that in my head when they were like, James May is going to be on the show. I'm not trying to be like, I'm so cool. Like I didn't freak out. I was like, oh,
you can brag.
All right, wow. All right. The thing happened. But then when he gets out of the car and shakes your hand, you're like, oh shit. Okay. Got to try to be clever. Try to be smart. Don't say anything stupid. Cause you know, Jesus just arrived.
This is fucking James May.
Yeah. It's like, you know, but him and the other guys are why I wanted this job. Cause mm-hmm. I used to download the shows on Final Gear, this old website before it was on YouTube.
I remember Final Gear.
Yeah, I don't know how old you guys are, but or your audience really for that matter, but like that's where you went to get a new mm-hmm. Top Gear because it was not on YouTube, it wasn't streaming, it wasn't available anywhere.
I remember mm-hmm. the time before YouTube. I'm in my 30s, so yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And especially if the show was only broadcast on the BBC.
Yep.
And I mean, it wasn't until like 10 years later that the Discovery Channel bought some of the episodes, but they were like 10 years old anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how you get the show. And I just, whatever, found it like everybody else and was like, well, this show's really fucking good and mm-hmm. always searching for a new one every week. And that is what, you know, pulled me out of the ski bum life I was living in Colorado in 2009. I'd been doing that for 4 years. And I was like, I should probably do something. And I liked cars and video, and none of that was happening in Colorado. So I moved to LA and started the whole journey because of watching Top Gear.
Oh,
so to meet James May, it was like, you
know, you've come full circle.
You said it to me. Yeah, I was like, you're the reason. And I'm sure he's heard that a lot from anybody around my age on video. But he's just a really interesting guy. He was really nice. He fielded all our questions, even though he's probably answered some of them before. And the gin he came to promote was legitimately really delicious. It was very funny. Nice. That's
awesome.
You need to try it.
Yeah, I mean, we got to try. I don't drink that often. I definitely don't drink at noon very often. and I had two gin and tonics, and I was really feeling it after the show. I was really like relaxed and just like, I don't know, just saying whatever came to mind. And had to be driven to get tacos.
That's a good ride, though.
But it was fucking. It was a really cool way to meet him, and mm-hmm. and then we just had Tiff Nadell on like 4 days ago, who predated James May on Top Gear.
Oh wow!
And again, like both of them came on to promote something, but I don't care. I still got to talk mm-hmm. to them for 90 minutes, which is you know, better than like if it was a late night TV show and we get to talk to him for 12 minutes in front of like a live audience. So
yeah,
it was rad. And both of them like lived up to my expectations, you know.
That's amazing.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was real wild. It was really cool.
Just to top it off, the fact that there was an earthquake during your James May interview.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 minutes in the whole build. And I know you've listened to the episode, but a few other guys haven't. So James May shows up with a small entourage. Like, you know, he's got business people that are handling the gin and like assistants and stuff. And they're looking at the storage, the car storage racks, and they go, oh, so this must be, you know, built for earthquakes. Like, we have earthquakes in California. And I go, oh, yeah, this building is technically rated by the architects to like a 12-0, which is twice the strength of anything I've ever experienced in my life. And he's like, oh, wow, that's really high. And then jump ahead literally 20 minutes, and we're sitting there talking about whatever, and the whole room just starts to jiggle. And it did it for like 10 full seconds. It was a pretty long,
damn,
a solid earthquake.
Yeah. Certified like, California moment.
Very much so. It was like 4.7. The center of it was Pasadena, so it was only like, I don't know, 10 miles away. And I grew up here, so in California, so I'm a little bit jaded with earthquakes. Like, mm-hmm. I've been woken up by them before, and I kind of go, is this big enough to get out of bed? Am I really? I'll wait a little more. Like, I don't immediately run to a safe place, which right. is dumb. Do not.
It's like me with hurricanes.
Yeah.
Cracks yeah. running through the asphalt.
100%. And any disaster that we get familiar with, we just go, wow, is this a bad one? So we just sat there in the room, just like, you know, our gin and tonics just trembled. And he's like, is that a real earthquake? And we're like, yep, that's a real earthquake.
You might.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, some of my favorite parts of the smoking tire is your delivery, because you'll just say something and it's like the most hilarious thing I'll hear that day. So I want to know, in your opinion, in your entire career, what was the most comedic moment that you've experienced? Something that stands out.
Wow, that's a hard question. It's hard because my memory is bad. It truly is. No. The easy answer is it's the funniest times are when we would hang out after shoots, like off air stuff. And it was, you know, after a drive shoot, and we're all loopy because we've been up for 14 hours and working and we've driven, I don't know, 1,000 miles, and we're having drinks and everyone just riffing. Like those are usually the funniest times. Okay. Here's one. So Mike Spinelli and I were driving. This was on a drive shoot, so meaning drive on NBC Sports, mm-hmm. which was a show that I helped write, produced, and hosted a couple of episodes. And the primary hosts were Chris Harris, who went on to some fame, Mike Spinelli, and Matt was on, I think, 4 seasons, and then he left. Alex Roy was on possibly all the seasons, and so they subbed me in for a couple of segments. But so this was back when I was just producing writing. So I was in a McLaren with Mike Spinelli because, you know, someone needs a ride with Mike or he'll get lost. And it's also a fun opportunity. So, you know, driving across France, McLaren. But Mike has a brain like mine where we just start doing bits and voices and characters. And we just start fucking around with that. And it will go on
totally
for a long time until our boss, JF, says, guys, stop. We have to do work. So Mike and I somehow decided that we were Midwestern, like guys from the Midwest who had won a supermarket contest to drive supercars across France. And we just started talking as if that was us. And we're just like, gosh, it sure is not a lot of buildings out here. Like really, really nice topography. And wow, these trees sure are different. So we just did that for, I don't know, 15 minutes. We're just making up anything. And we miss our exit.
Oh, shit.
and we have two-way radios, but we get too far from the rest of the group pretty quickly. So we get a phone call from JF, our director, and he's like, where the fuck did you go? And we're like, oh, shit, sorry. We break character. We come back. But that was one of the funniest times because we were just laughing and making this crap up about being, you know, random Americans on a contest in France, and then we get lost doing because we got lost in a bit. We actually got physically lost. So that was hilarious. That was a really fun time. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. On the podcast, I don't know. You'd have to look at like whatever fans comment and they're like, right, that line was great. But I just forget as soon as it's out of my head because I'm so focused on the show we're doing. Mm-hmm. And like, you say a joke, but like you're so focused on what's happening next.
Right. Yeah.
That it's really hard to go pretty good.
And when you were talking about, I forgot exactly what it was, but I think you were talking about like driving a Jeep with no doors. And you were like, it was a really, really, it'd be a really, really comfortable and great experience until a bee flies next to your head.
And oh my God, I fucking hate that.
Yeah, that made me laugh pretty hard.
I hate the thought of that.
Yeah, being like off-roading with doors off is really cool. And then I think I remember this and it was like, it's nice to be close to nature, but then if nature starts to go in the car and you don't have doors, it's suddenly very not fun to be close to nature.
Yeah.
One of my good friends,
I hate this.
Sam Smith and a couple of the guys that used to work at Road and Track, they did this crazy story where they drove a four-door Wrangler from Seattle up to the furthest point you can drive to in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And they took the doors off because they're all masochists and they're all like off-road motorcycle people. So they wore their off-road motorcycle overland gear.
That makes
and
sense.
It was, based on the story, it was not enough gear. All of them were freezing fucking cold. And at one point, a bear starts chasing their Jeep, like legitimately up to 30 miles an hour, starts running next to their Jeep. And it's like, that's holy when there's fuck. Too much nature. Yeah.
It's about
that's
how terrifying. Fast the fucking Wrangler goes anyway.
pretty much. I mean, unless that road's really straight.
The only thing that would have made that worse is they had the death wobble.
I think this was in like 2017. I think so. They had fixed the highway manners a bit. They've constantly improved those on the Wrangler, thankfully.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
I've experienced it.
Yeah, no,
I unfortunately know what it's like when bees fly into the fucking Wrangler. That happened to me on a test drive. Except it wasn't bees, it was wasps.
Oh, even worse.
Oh my God, yeah. I fucking hate wasps.
I was sitting in a fucking red light and it's like springtime, so it's pollen. I'm just sitting there and it's just flying around my fucking face.
Like, get your fucking legs away from me.
I would just jump out of the car. Wasps. Like, let the wasp have the car.
I recoiled so hard to the left that my body was outside where the door's supposed to be.
Oh, I would have hit my head against the window and shattered it, probably.
Like, that there wasn't a window. Sweet. All the doors were gone.
Oh, yeah, that's
and it
right.
Was, were you test driving it to buy it, but they'd already taken the doors off?
No, I was test driving it because they had a wobble at 55 miles an hour.
Oh, well,
like, I'm not driving that.
You're a tech, so, okay.
Yeah, that's the basis of the show. We're all three technicians. Yeah.
I guess we forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
No, I remember that from the intro, but I forgot it in our conversation.
Oh, yes, the main thing that we do.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we started this because we were all three mechanics who got some kind of following on social media and we make similar content. That's literally the whole basis of the show.
Yep.
So turns out we have great chemistry, except for these two.
What do you mean?
You guys not so much.
Have you met in person?
That's the fun part.
It's ironic.
We have met in person, yes. Sometimes. We went to a American Superbike race in Circuit of the Americas.
Austin.
Yeah,
that was so much fun.
Yeah, we spent the weekend together, so that was
to do that again.
Yeah, we do,
but not when it's 118 degrees outside.
Well, that's why we're going to the Pacific Northwest, so it's not
place that's amazing though that you guys launched a podcast having never met.
Yeah, I still kind of don't really know how it happened.
It
was like a snowball. It kind of just happened.
Well, it was kind of just like a group chat. And then it was like, why don't we just start? Why don't we just record this?
That's why we started our show. Yeah, that's all you need to do.
Hell yeah.
But you guys do have very good chemistry and like you play good conversational ping pong for people that
it feels hasn't really it's hung good. Out
before.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we go to the Patreon questions or do you guys have anything that you want to talk about?
I have a thing that I do want to say.
Okay.
I went to Radwood today.
Oh, hey.
Cool.
It was very cool. And 80 people didn't show up because it rained.
Oh, shit.
Second year. I went last year, and then this is my second year. It got rained out, kind of, like 80, like literally 80 no-shows. They like announced it, and they were like, they paid.
Damn.
And they just didn't show up, but like there was still a lot of really cool cars that showed up. I mean, not like all the cars they still had at Griot's, with like the Formula One cars and stuff. They had an F1 car that said Michael Schumacher on it. I don't know if it was a real Michael Schumacher car.
What was the color of it?
It was red.
Oh, it's Ferrari.
So it was a red Ferrari Formula One car. It was like a...
Because depending on the year...
It said Michael Schumacher, it was red, and it was a Formula One car. That's all I got.
I guess it just depends on how much he raced.
Yeah, it might have been like a... It had one of the tires was debated. But it's like a restoration shop. It's called Griot's Garage. They have their own restoration shop, and it's the fucking coolest place. It is so cool. Like, they have like Ayrton Senna's winning 1982 Formula One car that he just had, that he drove. They have so many cool things.
It's the John Player special one, right?
No, it's you know what? It's... Oh, the mirror came off. It's this, basically.
Oh, the 90s one.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was 91.
You said 82.
I thought it was 82. I remember somebody corrected me and told me it was like, hey, it's actually 92 or something. I don't remember, but yeah, it was really cool, and my car didn't break, so I'm happy about that.
That's good.
But yeah, well, that was pretty cool.
That car is real. It says... I'm on Haggerty, they did an interview with Richard Griot, and at one point he owned chassis 203, which is the car that Schumacher drove to win the Canadian Grand Prix back in 2000.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well,
so you saw a Grand Prix winning car.
I saw a Grand Prix winning fucking Michael Schumacher car today. Neat.
Yeah. I don't know if he still has that one, but they say he is an F1 car collector. So
yeah, he's got a whole bunch of old ones.
Are pretty real. It depends on, like, did it win one race or five races or driver's championship? And I think each one of those just adds a zero.
Yep. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, oh, this one won every race ever. With billion, trillion, gajillion dollars.
Just any Lewis Hamilton car.
Just a car with his name on it. A 92 Ford Tempo with his name written on the side of it.
In pencil.
Sharpie with the fucking S backwards.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and go to the... What's going on?
Wait, can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
I have a question for all three of you. You can answer. You can answer in unison. Or
we normally do.
Do you have a company... You know, it could be Ferrari, it could be Gordon Murray Automotive, whatever. Like, do you have a company that is your dream company to work for? Because you are all technicians, which I remember definitely and didn't have to be reminded about. Could be a racing team, could be motorcycle racing team, or Buick Road Racing, although that might be hard to come
by. There may be an interruption imminent.
Is the cat here?
How so?
There's an animal.
Wow.
Oh my god, there's like garbage all around my fucking desk right now because of moving.
Okay.
And she's walking on like boxes and like hats and stuff. And she's right here.
And it's a Millie.
He has the ADHD documentation.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I do. Do you have anything you want to say?
This happens every episode.
Do you have anything to say to the people? They want to know what you have to say.
She's not the vocal one. That's usually Sasha.
Nothing? Really? Okay. All right.
Anyway, to answer your question, Zach.
sorry.
For me, I've only ever worked on Mercedes-Benz. So something that a team that I would love to work for is one of the GT3 racing teams. So any of the IMSA or... endurance racing teams that field the AMG GT3. I'd love to be on one of those teams. That's just me. Pixie and or Sterling.
That's a very good question. I would say either like the design and like what would you call what was it's like whatever Keiichi Tsuchiya did with Initial D, like a creative mechanical director, I forget what they called it, mechanical engineer or something, but for Gran Turismo.
Mm.
So like for Polyphony Digital.
Okay.
That's or cool. Or something high up in Honda's racing division, maybe.
Okay.
Because I need
digital creation of vehicles or
no, something along like the mechanical aspects of it, because they, you know, they use real cars to develop the game, so something in that area would be wicked cool for me. And either that or I just need to convince somebody to make a fit Type R.
That'd be Honda. Fucking awesome.
I will go to Honda single-handedly and I will make them make a fucking fit Type R for me. And that's and everyone else. They were so good. They discontinued the fit and now it's gone. And now they're not making a fit Type R. And that's makes me sad.
The fit is no. I know.
No more fit. Fit. No fit.
Stuff a fit with a K24A in it. Big ass fucking turbo.
You don't even need a turbo.
No.
It would just be perfect.
Fit the turbo that has the Boeing symbol on it. Just a giant one.
Well, yeah, but then parts are going to fall off of it. My fiance had a fit from 2012 to last year. And she's done some drifting school. And she had this car. And she was like, should I get a new car? I don't know. I'm on the fence. And Matt just like for fun, he was like, you should just like K24 swap this thing and then have him put a manual transmission and just like make it into a fucking race car. And she goes, she's like, well, how much does that cost? And he looked at her like I was joking and she was not joking. She for a moment, she's like, maybe I'll just dump all the money I saved into this thing. It would not have been like a perfect. Yeah, of course. That car had great steering feel. I miss it.
Which gen fit was it?
I think first. 2012?
I think a 12 would be a second. If it was a 12, it'd be second gen, I think.
Didn't the fit come out in 2007?
It came out in 01. Did it come out in the US in 01? Oh, I guess it did. My bad. 2006. We got the North American version.
I think that'd be a second gen. I think so. Yeah, right. I don't know.
Yeah, second gen.
Because the very first gen ones, they have problems with like cracking around the back. Like the whole back will just crack. I don't know exactly how it works, but like I know Mr. Regular had one, and I know like my buddy had one, and it like leaked water everywhere in it because the back of metal of the car would just break. Like a can opener.
Jesus.
And then the third gens are not as good as the second gens. And the second gens are like the perfect one. If you're ever Honda Fit buying advice, if you're going to buy Honda Fit, get a second gen. Pro tip from me and everyone alive also.
What about you, Pixie?
There's a performance shop over in well, it used to be like 10 minutes from my house, but they moved to Sealy, Texas because I got so big. It's called Bomberas. And they just build really, really fucking high horsepower, like Mustangs and shit like that.
Hmm.
Cool. So I'd like to work in that shop.
Mm.
It'd be neat.
I guess on it. Like, can I change my answer?
Long-winded answer that you want to change it.
Yeah. Well, if it's for a company, I'm not going to change my answer. But in reality, I would really just like to work for myself.
There you go.
Everybody asks me what my dream job is, and the dream is to not have to work. That's my dream.
Well, yeah, I mean that's.
But I mean, if you make a company yourself, you can technically say that you work for.
Well,
a company.
No, if I make a company, I'm gonna work my fucking ass off. I work my ass off at every job I've ever had, but it's like.
I was about to say when I made the LLC for this podcast, that was my fucking workload doubled.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and go to the Patreon responses. It's the first half of the question section from our listeners. So we have our Patreon responses, and then we go to the Instagram story responses, which get way out of pocket. So we'll probably ignore a lot of those.
We've got the intelligent kids section, and then the
careful what you say.
Other section.
Don't.
I know this is an edited podcast, but
I'm going to say it.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and start with Instagram. Patreon user, Forced User, and he asks something a little philosophical, I guess. Something for everyone, including the guest. Are you happy? As in, are you happy with the way that everything has turned out or the pace it continues to evolve from?
Just no, general. I need more money.
Yeah, speaking of inflation.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there was a pretty good number of years where I was not. And that's because I was working two jobs too much. And I was, and everything I was doing was behind camera. And that was honestly like my fault for a while. Like when I first joined TST, it was, you know, that was what I was going to do. It was going to be behind the camera. But then early on, Matt said, he's like, you could do reviews too. And I was so like shy and afraid of the internet and doing that. Like I wanted to, of course, but I was genuinely just nervous about it. So I just was like, no. I'll just like write things and write jokes and do that stuff. But then I was watching, you know, but then I was producing all these shows where everyone was doing the thing I wanted to do. And so I got real grumpy about it, but it was totally my fault. So I would say, you know, now that I have one job and we get to do podcast stuff and I get to do some other things for Cars and Bids and other outlets, I am definitely way happier because I get to like use my creative brain and be the person that drives the cars and, you know, gets to have some of the fun. Although it's still a ton of work. It's better than sourcing permits for someone to shoot an ad or something like that. But
hell yeah.
Had to pay the bills. So.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a quick question.
Yes.
You reminded me you worked for Cars and Bids. Did you remember a lifted Roadmaster station wagon coming across your job at all? Do you remember that?
I don't, but I should clarify that I've only like reviewed maybe 9 cars for them. Mm-hmm. I don't work in the office with them.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was just wondering. I sold my old, I had an old lifted Woody Wagon Roadmaster. I sold
that
on there.
That sounds fucking awesome though.
Yeah, I actually just got another one and I'm going to do the same exact thing that I did to the old one. I don't have the lift ordered yet, but the bumper's getting made literally today, right now.
It's being made right now. His bumper's made out of like tubing and he's going to have a speed limit sign as like the splash guard. Bumper.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like my last one.
You're gonna put the 1,000 pounds of sound deadening in this one?
No. I mean, if I ever need to drop the headliner, which I'm going to have to because it's sagging and I need to literally rent a fucking U-Haul cargo van to take it to the place to get reupholstered because I can't fit it in any other car. But yeah, I was just wondering.
I'm looking at a picture of your old car right now.
If you Google Roadmaster wagon, thank you. Appreciate it.
I was about to say, did you hear what he said?
I'm a big, we use the Chevy Caprice, you know, the cousin of this car.
Yeah, I remember.
Production car for years for this show called Big Muscle we did.
So I was a huge Big Muscle fan. That I watched every single episode. I loved that show.
Thank you.
One of the reasons I actually was so turned on to buying a Roadmaster was because of the Caprice wagon. It's just like back when you guys were making those videos, those cars were worth nothing. And now they're $20,000 for some reason. Like what the fuck? Like
Mike bought that thing for $2,500.
Yeah.
Put some money into it and then he sold it for $6,000. And I remember he was like, this is pretty good. We turned a small profit. And you know, now I'm sure it would be worth like $16,000 or something. Like
it's ridiculous. They have gone up so much. Yeah. I didn't mean to derail everything.
Oh, no, you're fine. To go back to Forced User's question, for me, I have recently, as of this past week, switched to a new Mercedes dealer. Mm-hmm. And I was dropping off my tools today. So I had all my tools in the back of my 212 E-Class sedan. And I brought it into the shop. Put all my tools away. And as I was putting my tools away, I ended up talking to a lot of the techs there, and I'm already a part of an F1 IndyCar group chat.
Oh, fuck yeah. Hell yeah, buddy.
That never happened with the last two dealers that I was a part of, because everyone who was in those two dealers kind of kept to themselves when I first got in there. They weren't really that friendly. Now that I have this kind of like camaraderie immediately at this new place, I'm so looking forward to putting hours into this place. I cannot wait to start working at this dealership. So currently I am very happy. And my shop foreman at the new place is a fan of the Smoking Tire. So he's going to be listening to this episode.
I don't know anyone who isn't a fan of the Smoking Tire, honestly.
I've actually talked to a lot of people that don't know what the Smoking Tire is, but they're also not into the car world. So that's probably part of that. So
you know what the Smoking Tire is?
One of my favorite things that people do, and everyone does this, is every now and then someone will, they'll start saying a sentence and they'll say it at a pace that my brain can add conclusions, like multiple conclusions.
Oh my God.
And they just leave it hanging. And it's like, you know, the thing about you is, and then they'll say something, but like, you were like, you're like, I bet, like you said, he asked, who doesn't know about the Smoking Tire? And you go, I've actually met a lot of people, and my brain's going, who have no idea or who hate. Yeah. I was like, he's going to say who hate, because that's what it fills in with. You're right. Like, it's a big world. We have so many subscribers. There's obviously plenty of people who don't listen to us. But I love when people do that, and they're not doing it intentionally. But my brain can just fill in the worst thing in the world.
I'm actually a really slow talker when I have to think about the next few words that I'm getting ready to say. So that kind of goes into
that's why I talk. That's why I talk so fast.
Imagine how slow you talk if you smoke weed.
Oh my God.
I talk faster when I smoke weed. I'm like, oh, blah, 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 and this thing, and that thing, and this thing, and that thing.
What the fuck?
Wow, is that a Saab 900?
Jesus. But yeah, no, that. I'll go up to somebody and be like, you know who the, you know what the Smoking Tire is? And they'll be like, no. And I'll be like, okay, then what I'm about to tell you isn't it like significant in any way.
Then never mind.
No, then I hate you.
No. You can like different things.
Anyway, Pixie, are you happy?
Yeah,
I just need more fucking money.
Oh yeah, you said that already.
I need more money and a Terminator Cobra Mustang, please.
Which money would solve that as well?
Not a convertible, though.
No, I fucking... No convertible. That's those are the only ones that are fucking for sale all the time.
Yeah, nobody wants them. The ones.
I want the hardtop, goddammit.
I will buy a convertible Terminator, and I will buy a V6 hardtop Mustang, and I will just make it one.
Hell yeah. Zach. Question from Patreon user Sports Cars Asumus. They ask, does Matt ever stop talking about watches?
Yeah, he doesn't talk about them much in front of me because I don't have anything to contribute. Because I don't know anything about watches, and I'm not a watch person.
Oh my God.
I respect them, and I appreciate the math that like the brilliance that goes into making something like that work, but it's not my it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe that would change if I had lots of money because it's jewelry for men, which is like fine. Well, I mean, and watch people like Matt has said that too. And it's true. Mm. You know, we don't really buy purses. We can't show things off and accessorize. So men get watches. But I don't know, man, some of the prices on those things.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Like,
I inherited this from my dad after he passed away. This is a 1998 Submariner. And I keep looking up the prices of this thing online, and I'm like, what the hell? Why is it that expensive? God.
It is. There's a bright side for everything. Yeah. But, sorry for your loss.
Well, I mean, I do have his old motorcycle, which is a BMW S1000 as well. So, I mean, that's kind of, I understand where you're coming from, but.
That is a very nice watch. I don't know much, but I know that is a very nice watch.
Can I annoyingly interject one more time? Because yes. I now have a watch segue because one of my followers sent me a watch. Can I go get it? I'll be right back.
I swear to God, if it's a Saab 900 watch.
I don't normally interrupt this much. No, I do. But hang on. I got to mute this. I'll be right back.
Matt gave me this watch, which I like, and it's like a $100 G-Shock.
Yeah,
and the manga edition, because I was really into comic books when I was a kid, And so, like, you know, I don't really get excited for many watches, especially the watches our patrons ask about, because it's just, it's a hobby I never got into. Right. But he talked about this, and I looked at it, and like my eyes got wider. I was like, oh, I like comic books. And he saw that happen. So, yeah, I got this, and then we had someone modify the hour hand, because I couldn't see it, because it was white on white. And, you know, I want to be able to tell the time with the thing. So,
yeah.
I like it.
Ooh. Wrong button.
What is
it? God damn it.
What do you think of that, huh?
It's digital.
Did the patron win it in a gumball machine?
I don't know. It says made in Hong Kong on the back, so maybe.
Of course it does.
they bought a lot of Buick. Well, it's China, not Hong Kong.
I don't know.
Seems what that shit came out of a that shit came out of a Walmart vending machine
probably,
in Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Now I got a Buick shirt and I got a Buick watch.
Hell yeah. Patreon member Nick Toomey says,
thank you for
Zach,
cars and sports cars of Sumas.
For Zach, what are your favorite one takes? Could be ones you've personally filmed or just any that have been posted to the Smoking Tire.
Okay. I drove an Exocet, Mazda Miata Exocet.
Yes.
That was fucking wild.
Good car.
For anyone who doesn't know, it's a Miata with like no body on it, basically. I mean, it's a holy tube shit. Chassis, and then they drop everything in. It's a ladder with an engine. I mean, it is a death trap. And it's so fun and loud and exciting and, you know, lighter than a Miata, which is not a problem that the Miata needed to deal with. It's like having one of the Olsen twins lose weight. You're like, we don't need to do this, but sure. And that was very exciting. First time I drove a Terminator Cobra was on a one take, and I had been a huge fan of them ever since that YouTube video went viral, like Snake Bite 2. It just did the best burnout and sounded amazing. So I drove two of those cars that had some handling work. It was really impressive what can be done with that with proper suspension setup, considering how heavy they are in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a lot of like meet your hero stuff. Like I finally drove a Mark IV Supra, and actually was a lot like softer than I was expecting. It had big power, but it just felt like a GT car.
And it depends how people do the suspension, if they decide to do the goddamn suspension at all.
I think it's had coilovers, but they just felt soft, and it was definitely more focused on power.
Yeah, I know.
And then finally getting to drive a 550 Maranello, because that's like my dream car.
Ooh,
and
yes,
it was a high mileage example. The interior,
good dream
like,
car.
The center console was literally coming like falling apart, but it was fantastic. So
hell yeah,
yeah. That was probably one of them.
Patreon member Ashton Green says, "What's the best advice you've ever been given?"
Like in general,
that's all he said.
These are deep questions.
This was pretty philosophical.
Patreon,
like more than normal.
Premium Patreon members, they definitely put some thought into their stuff.
Like, what's your favorite
Instagram people?
Just wait till the Instagram people. Yeah. That'll change 180.
We love the Instagram people too.
Where's my? Oh my.
We love them.
I think it's not. It's like I have a couple of motivational pictures that run through in a sequence on my phone like every day. Mm-hmm. And basically a lot of it is, you know, if you start today, you'll be one step closer tomorrow. But if you don't start, you'll be in the same place. Because like I said, for a long time,
I was just
afraid to jump in front of camera. And I was, you know, nervous about like I, for a very long time, I was kind of paralyzed by the fear of making mistakes.
Mm.
Especially when you're on a public forum like, you know, the internet, and people can like occasionally I'll say something wrong, which sucks. I don't want to say things wrong, but someone will come in and go, I've been a Mercedes tech for 40 years. Here's what you missed. And I go, yeah, you know more about these cars than me. That's fine.
I've been alive for 1,000 years and you're wrong.
Hi, I'm God. You're wrong. Here's what you missed on the NASCAR. You just reviewed four cars and bids. Cause that's a thing that happened.
An example of that.
But just yet, you know, not being afraid
of NASCAR. Everyone.
No, man, I got to sort of not review because I couldn't drive it, but present a NASCAR that was going for auction on Cars and Bids. Mm-hmm. And I tried to learn as much as possible along with the six other cars I was filming that weekend. I really tried to like learn about the cars and the chassis and the setup. and I got a bunch of shit wrong. And a very nice circle track racer chimed in. He's like, I raced circle track. This was a hard lift. Like, nice try. Just should have had someone who had racing experience do this.
Jesus, like, sorry, fuck. It's my show, not someone else's.
Yeah, but I, you know, just not being afraid of failure, because yeah, people yeah. aren't going to really give a shit for more than 2 seconds, and then you can just move on.
Yeah. Patreon member Level 14 says, being your TST's longest standing employee, what is one or a few big standout moments or memories that you have happened to you across your career?
So many. Jumping between moving cars when we did All Cars Go to Heaven 1.
Holy shit.
Basically, for the first 6 years, we were like children who had been given cars and the parents just moved to a different country. Oh, shit. Because it was really great because it was early, it was 2009, 10, 11, 12. Internet video was not that big, so there weren't that many people doing it. And that meant the police weren't familiar with what we were doing. So LA, you know, you need film permits to do anything. But they would come across us infrequently, thankfully. But when they'd see us, they go, what are you doing? We're like, well, we're shooting for the internet. And they kind of look at us like, the what? Oh, okay. And
the hell's an internet?
Kind of. Like, they went, well, how do we even write a ticket for this? It's not
commercial. You mean that electric thing?
It's not TV. So we got a lot of leeway because it just wasn't happening that much. I mean, we built a tow hitch mount, went off the back of Matt's Raptor, came up in the air about the height of the bed, and it had a huge, I can't remember what the mount is called, but it allowed us to mount a tripod head to that. And then we mounted a 8-foot jib off of that tripod mount. So we were flying an 8-foot long jib that would pivot on this mount that allowed us to move the camera around in front of a car as the car was driving behind us. No permit. The harness we were using for Tom Morningstar cameraman was flimsy. I mean, for a long time, we did things because we were trying to mimic Top Gear and recreate it on a budget, which we did to a degree, but we did it with very minimal safety, very minimal, you know, like we just did it the wrong way, but no one got hurt and we never really got in trouble because we got really lucky. So there's a lot of memories of that. We're like, holy shit, I can't believe, like, you know, we just bought these cheap cars and drove them across, you know, all of Utah, and none of them broke down or caught on fire, or, you know, even though we were crashing them into each other, or Zach was jumping between cars while moving. mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of that stuff in the early
That's
days.
It's hard to do.
I'd be jump scared shitless. Cars.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going nose to tail, and it was just, all right, keep your speed.
Oh.
It wasn't like we're on a highway, but it's
I'd
still
find a way to fuck that up.
Yeah, I mean, if you fuck it up, you're gonna
just, you know, fall off the back of the car.
Yeah, good job rolling a one, Pixie.
Yeah, exactly.
Think that, and then flying that electric helicopter thing.
Last
year.
Fucking nuts, dude.
That was more nerve wracking than you know jumping between cars. Because
the whole time you're telling that story and I'm listening to it, the only thing that I can think about is if anything goes wrong and you're forced into those rotors, that's not
Whoops.
Good.
Wow, there's two of me now.
Well, there's no
surprise milkshake.
Really, like, I don't think there's a chance I could interact with the rotors. The real concern was my maximum height they'd allow me to fly was below the minimum height needed to deploy the emergency parachute.
Oh.
And it's like they had enough confidence in the aircraft and whatnot. But just when I heard, when I was reading the manual and I went, wait, minimum height for parachute, okay, is like 205 feet. And then I asked them, all right, what am I flying at? And they said, no higher than 100. And I went, but this says that I need to be higher than that. And they're like, no, you'll be fine. I was like, but if I'm not fine, then I'm not fine. Because I, like, what's my recourse here? And I mean, there are emergency protocols. If you lose an engine, like, you can kind of sort of descend quickly and it would be fine.
Auto rotation.
Yeah, this doesn't do that.
This is auto drop out of the sky immediately.
Well, you know, so it has 8 individual electronic motors. So if one goes out, the other 7 compensate and you just get to the ground as quickly as possible. And it would be like slightly bumpy, but it would be all right. But if there's, you know, I think if there's two or more failures, the manual says you just pull the chute. Like, there's no descending controlled. But they hadn't had a motor failure I think, in like 13 years, so I wasn't really worried that that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's a good track. It's a long time.
It's a long time for a motor to not fail. With a switch,
I can turn this helicopter into a rock.
What the fuck?
All right, here we go.
Yeah, someone back there could be playing God just for Zach Clapman. Just boop.
Fuck this person in particular.
Carbon fiber
today, right now.
Oh, there's no clouds in the sky. Let's hit that fucking thing with a thunderbolt right there.
Out of the blue, yeah.
That.
Let's see. A Patreon member, Midwestern Metalhead 03, says, what was the harder job? Being a mechanic or being a writer for some of the largest automotive entertainment companies, which is more fun? Were you a mechanic?
Well,
At any point? Yeah.
I was a heavy equipment mechanics apprentice, which is for a summer, which is a nice way to say they told me to use the pressure washer to clean grease and asphalt off of stuff. And I tried to fix something and I couldn't fix it. And it was like, all right, you just clean things. And like, yeah.
Like, oh no, I can't do this.
They sent me out to fix something once. Like, hey, the team over here needs this thing done. And my boss was very nice. He's like, I think you could figure it out, which meant it must have been a low consequence situation because that's a lot of faith. And I don't think I could. I think we got out there. It was 4 p.m. You know, they were going to shut down at 5 anyway. And I don't know how to work on this hydraulic motor, whatever it's called. I was like, look, this is not a Pontiac engine, sir. So unless I can do everything with a 9/16 wrench, I don't know what's going on. So, yeah. I don't know. I think you guys have a much harder job.
We get that a lot as mechanics.
It does make me scream in my car a lot. So I mean,
so are you happy, Eric? Yeah.
I am after he is now.
That's not good. Well, no, I guess that's healthy. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. Depends on where you scream.
Yeah, I left the place that caused me to scream. So that's
there you go.
We're going forward.
I can scream in my car and not at Barbara. Okay. Fine.
Right. Patreon member Police 428 says, when working for Haggerty, did you get a chance to work with discount Adam Sandler in parentheses Jason Kamisa? If how is he as funny as he is off camera as he is on?
If Jason, then
do more like.
Did Yoda ask this question?
Find the details.
There's barely any punctuation. It was very confusing to read.
Apply today.
Kamisa as funny off camera on.
God damn it.
Jason is amazing and it's irritating. You're like, oh yeah, you're very clever, smart, diligent, dedicated, and he can drive really well. So he is all of those things. I never got to work with him. The shows I did for Haggerty were I produced Magnus Walker's show, and then I did a show with Dayu Shahara called Rated, which was fun. But Jason like has his own team. They're based out of NorCal. Then and they travel when they need to just, and it's like they're like the Anthony Bourdain unit. It's like, I think it's like five people, and they spend a lot of time making all of their videos, and they pre-write the whole thing, and that really, really helps, and it really shows. And I mean, the quality of their work is ridiculous.
Cool.
All right, we've got three more Patreon questions, and then we'll hand pick three or four Instagram questions, depending on how much time we have. Yeah. Patreon member Chrysler Connection, question for all. If you could pick one single car to drive for the rest of your life, what are you choosing? And
oh my God, I hate this fucking question.
You can't answer that question, can you?
I can't. I literally can't. I can't do that. That doesn't work for me. My ADD is too bad. I can't have one car.
It's either got to be a Terminator Cobra or a 1314 GT500.
Good answer.
Those are good. Those are both great.
Because it's practical enough, I can fold the damn seats down in the back and fit stuff in it.
It's true.
You know what's more practical than both of those cars?
I don't care.
a Fox Body hatchback. And you know what all goes into a Fox Body hatchback? Every single part of a Terminator Mustang. There you go.
That's pretty amazing.
But it's not a Terminator Mustang, no.
Yeah, but it's got a fuck the hatchback. I used mine to move. They're huge inside.
Those hatchbacks are so heavy. I test drove those.
They are. Shopping
for cars, and I opened the back and I went, "What the
fuck? Like, what this? The was like fuck?
300 pounds?
They need to be. They need to have new struts, or they're made out of like anchor iron. It's fucking ridiculous.
The fucking struts on the trunk of my New Edge is like that. It's just I gotta like press the fucking trunk up.
Fucking.
But then if it's slightly angled this way, it'll just go and just fall down. Yep.
You should put lubrication on the contact points of that, and then it won't do that.
I'm just gonna get new ones.
What about you, Zach? I have to keep this podcast going because we don't have much time.
I can, come on, I keep going. Who's the teacher in the classroom? But man, it's funny. And I mean no disrespect to Pixie or Sterling. Like this is
oh.
What?
Oh no, it's part of the charm of the show.
Yeah. Like one car for everything, like forever.
Yeah, what they said was right. One car to drive for the rest of your life.
I'll go five. My dad can't do that. I'm gonna get mugged all the time.
What?
I was gonna say 550 Maranello because it's like, all right, that could probably satisfy me forever in a bunch of ways. But you know, I get daily it everywhere, park it everywhere. It's gonna deal with so many problems. It just seems this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
This is really difficult. Okay. I'll choose that. I'll choose 550 Maranello.
Gotcha. My pick would be a pre-facelift M156 E63 wagon. Is that I'd be able I to do?
I thought you would say the AMG GT.
That's not. Do you know how much like shit I have? It's not gonna fit the GT.
Yeah, and true. You just rent a U-Haul to move stuff if you need to.
Yeah, true.
You gotta get groceries. Yeah. Rent a U-Haul. $20.
But a wagon with an M156 in it is ridiculous, and I love it. I love the concept of that. Let's see. We've got two more.
Which generation was it of the E-Class?
Wait, I didn't answer.
All-wheel drive with selectable drift mode. Was that?
All-wheel drive with selectable drift. That's like, isn't that which, what was the first part of that?
Which generation E-Class AMG was it where it went all-wheel drive, but you could turn off all-wheel drive and go with drift mode?
I think it's the most recent one. Like can the, you do that with the facelift RS, 213.
Yeah. Yes, you can. You can also do it with the GRRS. The
Focus RS thing is a lie. So the GRRS is also a lie compared to this.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the facelift 213 onto the 214 E-Class that has it, I think.
Okay.
Because it's like 4MATIC Plus.
All right. I think okay.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I'll stay. I think.
I didn't answer the last question.
What car would you pick? Because you did talk about like Fox bodies.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I didn't. I would. Probably take my probably my Roadmaster wagon or that with an LS and a T56.
Okay.
Or a 2005 Ford GT.
There we go. He's going to start listing off cars now.
I'd actually just probably the GT, and then I'll just go fucking rent a truck when I need to do anything.
Mm. Gotta get groceries, go rent a U-Haul.
Patreon member Masonite 500 says, what was your first car and what is your dream car? Zach.
The first car that was mine was a 65 Pontiac Le Mans. And And had a GTO 400 and a Muncie 21 in it. And that was a good time.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
The dream car question is honestly impossible to answer because it depends on what I'm going to do with it and what my mood is. It's like, what song, what song would you listen to forever? Like you can't, I would choose.
Exactly.
Can't pick that.
So, I have a number of dream cars. It's just like, how much money do I have? And then the list goes on and on and on.
I say for me, if money was unlimited, I'd get a Koenigsegg 1-to-1. That's what I want.
Those are awesome. Yeah.
Go with our final Patreon question. This one is pretty extensive. Patreon member JJ the Tech says, the episode of the smoking tire with Victoria Scott is my favorite episode to date. And when Flagtime had Mr. Regular on and he spoke on being a gay man in car culture, I teared up. I've had guys physically reach to check for dirt under my nails at Cars and Coffee when I say I'm a tech or laugh. As a journalist and creator with a big platform in automotive, any thoughts on women and other minorities in the car culture and including these voices in your work?
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that the question was being asked by a woman until you said that, just because of the name. Yeah, a lot of guys at car shows are douchebags.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Hopefully, I want that to believe that that's a trend that happens to her with, you know, guys over 50. I really hope that's what's happened with the case, but I could be wrong. I think, what was the second part of her question?
Second part of her question was, any thoughts on women? Oh, including these voices in your work.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Like we don't have a gate up, you know, and we're like, oh, like no women allowed on the podcast or on the channel. Like we decide our guests based on, do we like their work? Do we think their work's important? And to a degree, like what's their following? And that sucks. It's like, it's something we didn't have to do back before we had ads. But once we got advertisers on the show, we realized, okay, well, if a show like super tanks in downloads because people don't know this person at all, that, you know, can lead to a big disruption in revenue. So what we do is sometimes we'll have people on the show that have a small following, but we think that what they do is so important, we want to bring the audience to that. We do that a lot with like the civil engineers or the people that talk about the politics of road design. Like these folks obviously don't have a big Instagram following on the car world, but we just think that what they're talking about is important. So I would say that we definitely want to have more, let's say marginalized voices on the show, and we're always happy to have anybody on or feature anybody that does rad work that we're excited about. So I mean, there should not be like a separation of like, this hobby used to be so like, what am I trying to say? Like the trope is car guy, right? And there's also a funny joke that's like, if you are, you know, a guy over 30 and you don't have a personality, try cars, because that's an easy thing to just pick up.
Yep.
I think what I really appreciate about social media, there's a lot of negatives with it, is it allows more people to connect around a hobby. And I think it brings people of different races, genders, etc., together, because you can go to shows like Radwood, or you can go to meets, or you can just, like, you know, you guys happen to be three white dudes, but it's very easy to meet other people online who are just into the hobby or into driving, and it looks, and then you can expose those new folks to your audience. Like this versus that on Hoonigan, they just had this girl on who, they had two women who are both like, not pro stock, but they both drag race 8 second or 7 second GTRs.
Hell yeah.
And I mean, they're better drag racers than probably 99% of the men I've ever met in my entire life. So I think the whole idea that either women can't drive or they can't wrench, like, these are not super difficult skills to learn. All you have to do is try them and then keep trying them. And like, basically anybody can do anything, especially because these two skills, I don't think, are really dependent upon maximum physical strength. And I know that this is a conversation that comes up with F1. People say, can women's bodies withstand the G-forces of an F1 car? I think it's a hard, like, I don't think you should say no to that, because there are definitely women that compete in CrossFit or strongman or whatever that are way stronger than any of us are, and probably stronger than a lot of the F1 drivers. I think it's really a situation of opportunity. There are just, you know, how many people in the world want to be race car drivers? How many of them have the money to, you know, make a campaign towards F1? Like, the number gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then again, and how many women are encouraged to pursue racing? Very few. So hopefully that whole tide is changing, and anyone who is into cars or wrenching or anything can just be encouraged to do it. That's why I'm a huge supporter and big fan of Jessie Combs, and she has a foundation called Real Deal, and they are fucking awesome. So what they do is they will set up these events where women might be teaching classes on welding or wrenching, usually on motorcycles, but other stuff. Basically, introductions to fabricating and that culture, and they'll have, you know, adult women who are curious about that stuff and want to learn more about it. But what's really rad is they'll have girls show up, you know, girls who are like under 10 who have showed an interest in mechanical things or in motorcycles or whatever. And this is a way for them to feel encouraged and see that there are women that work in fabrication. There are women that work in motorsports, and it encourages those girls and goes, oh, well, if they can do it, then I can do it too.
So, hell yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. What's it called again?
It's called Real Deal Foundation, or the, well, Real the Jesse Deal Combs Foundation owns it. And then the events, I believe are under her organization called Real Deal, or that brand rather.
Yeah. That's super cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Just Jesse nice. Was the shit.
Well, thank you, JJ Detect, for that question. That's an awesome answer, man. And thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for your insightful questions and your support of this really fucking stupid show.
People got real deep. They're like, are you guys happy? And what do you think about the gender mores of the United States of America?
Well, also ween war.
Well, yeah, that's a good segue into where we're going to go. We're going to go to the Instagram responses here. We're going to pick a few here because we're a little bit over on time.
And what's the first one? You gotta highlight.
As per tradition, we always highlight the first response, whoever gets there first.
Is it Wiener? Is it Wiener?
No, it's not.
Is it Wiener?
Dang it.
This is by Instagram user Walker62738, and they say, best car for its time and why?
Oh, best car for its time.
Yes.
Like the best car of a decade?
I guess something that was so revolutionary when it came out that it kind of paved the way for things to go forward, maybe?
Okay.
That's a good one.
I think it's a little bit of recency bias, but I think the O2 WRX was super important because it brought all-wheel drive and turbocharging to mainstream United States. Because before that, it was, you know, like Audi Quattro, but Audis are expensive. They also didn't handle great. I don't care what you say about the B5 S4. And so that
Passat turbo. Like,
hey man, dude, I should have bought a 92X when they did good. That whole thing. Yeah, so I think Subaru WRX was probably a really pivotal important car.
I like how you say recency bias, but it's like an O2.
Well, oh no, I watched a video about WRX's like 3 days ago.
Okay, but I didn't tell you so that part.
That was in my head.
Let me see.
Just wish it was cheaper to build a fucking boxer engine to handle horsepower and not explode.
That would be nice.
If Porsche and Subaru could get together and figure that science out, that'd be really cool.
Subaru just needs to use whatever fucking type of metal Porsche uses for their internals and put it in damn EJ or FA, whatever fucking
motor. Engine code then out. Fucking Subaru WRXs would be like $90,000.
No,
maybe they'd just be expensive because then they got that technology.
Because like, why does it cost $70,000 to build a Subaru to handle 500 horsepower?
That's a good question.
Like open deck design, opposed cylinder. That is a good question, though.
My buddy has a 320 something wheel horsepower Subaru WRX. I think it's a blob eye or a bug eye. I think. He has like $15,000 into the engine alone.
Exactly.
It's really, really fast, though. It's fucking, it's a riot. But like, fuck, that's so much money.
I know. And then at the same time, you could just take like a fucking O2 Accord with a K20A2 in it and just put a fucking turbo on it and you've got a 400 wheel horsepower car.
Yeah, but then you're driving on a cord.
Still,
well, isn't that the natural flaw of the open deck opposed cylinder economy car design? Because I think like you guys said, if it's from Porsche, it's opposed cylinder, but they can put in way more money into the metallurgy and the fabrication to make something that's because they also want something that they can put a turbos on it and put to like, you know, push to 500 horsepower. Mm-hmm. But Subaru's like, well, this engine started life. You know, it was 140 horsepower, like, and then they just try to, I don't know,
they modify keep adding it. On.
Yeah, that, but for at least for the STI models, put some stronger fucking internals in it. Like, Jesus Christ,
make the block
make the block out of fucking exactly. Cast iron.
I can't stand what like it's the same. It makes the same power. It's been making the same power for decades.
20 years.
The STI got here in 2004. I bought one in 2006. I fucking love that car. And then the new ones have basically the exact same power, while everybody else up with is that? like a Mustang GT has 485 horsepower now.
What did a 2002 Mustang GT have for horsepower?
290. I think that's what it's supposed to have at the crank.
Yeah,
like my E-Class has more than that.
the New Edge is not fast.
No,
it was back then, but not anymore.
Yeah,
the EcoBoost Mustang I used to have made 360 wheel horsepower.
It made
454 foot pounds of torque at the fucking rear wheels.
I had a Coyote
turbo 5.0 motor.
Yeah, I tuned mine though.
2.3 turbo.
Hell yeah. There's one more good question in
it's just all one 23. Really?
Because the majority of them, like, just to rattle them off, we've got Shrimps is Bugs, Wiener or Venus, and Twingo Venus. Question mark. So
yes,
we'll go with
coming soon through Starworks.
Yeah. We've got one more good one from Instagram user Overwest. What's the recruitment / procurement process for the Canyon Drive car vids?
Oh, I haven't done a fan car, like a fan's personal vehicle in over a year. It just, I think the liability kind of rose to my mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like there's just a lot of variables with that, that there was a time where, again, we just kind of went, you know, this is what we're going to do. And it was really fun to do it. I love driving people's personal cars and hearing their story. And we have commercial insurance, but it just became like people flake out. Some of the car submissions weren't that interesting. No offense to anybody. And it became, I think, well, also the other thing is.
You guys drive my Dodge Dart?
Dude.
It's got a hood scoop on it and a cold air.
Oh, yeah. New Dart. Yeah, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's just if we film the cars before, or a lot of versions of the car, and it seems redundant. Mm-hmm. But also, now that we do these more involved video styles, like back when Matt started doing the one takes, he would, you know, walk around the car once, film the interior once, set up cameras, and do four drive-by shots from a distance. And like, and at the time, the views were gigantic. It was super successful because people just wanted to hear what his take was on these cars. But, you know, that was 2015, and the landscape for car video has changed a lot. So like, we have started doing more complicated video reviews of like higher quality visuals.
Mm-hmm.
But that means, you know, I'd have to spend like 5 to 6 hours filming a person's car, whereas before we could do it in about 2. Mm-hmm. So people need to go to work. They could come up, meet me in the morning. I could film their car. They could leave and go to work. They might be an hour late. But now it's like, all right, can you meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning? We'll be done by noon or 1, and we'll get one video, whereas we used to get 4 out of like a group meet. So there's just a bunch of factors that kind of rolled into pulling back on that a little bit. I still keep the email open because some people have sent some really unique shit that's really interesting, like crazy aerial atoms, like stuff that
I gotta drive this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, I gotta make this work. But you know, but it has been a minute. I think I would tell them to just DM me on Instagram and I can look at what they have.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Well, there you go.
Well, thank you, Zach, for giving us an evening of your time, man.
Thank you guys. This was a ton of fun. It really was. You guys have a good thing going. Yeah.
Well, thank awesome. You.
I'm honored.
I had one more short thing to say.
Go ahead.
When you were talking about how the car community brings people together, that is my favorite thing about cars. Like, I do love, I mean, obviously, at first, I think seeing them initially was like the thing for me when I was little. And then like eventually getting to drive them, and then like driving them in like high performance situations and like on a track, or, you know, like on a canyon road, or like feeling that. And then also like, but you know, you go to like a track day or something, you meet all sorts of cool people. You go to car meets. Well, sometimes you don't meet cool people at car meets, but, the good car meets. Sometimes they
look under your fingernails to see if you're actually a tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck is that? Like, hey, maybe just take my word for it.
No, or, I want to see the grease under your fingers.
Or listen to my vocabulary. You'll probably figure it out pretty quick. But yeah, I think it's just great. Like, you get to go, oh, especially like, this is advice to everybody, by the way. Everybody listening, if you ever want to go make friends and you're into cars, go find your local autocross group. Go do that right now. You will meet every best friend you'll ever have. Especially in Washington, that the autocross scene is wild. And so if you ever like want to do that, then just go do that. But that's my favorite thing. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, the sense of community.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. It's my favorite. That's my favorite thing about cars. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. I just feel like I should have mentioned it because it came up, and you know when you have ADHD and something comes up in conversation and it mildly sparks your interest and you're like, oh my God, I have to talk about this now or I will die. That's me. But I was a good boy today.
you're like, oh, I have this great, like, wonderful, uplifting answer to this question, but here's watch. My cat.
I'm surprised the other one didn't make an appearance. It's usually my other cat who sounds like an old, she sounds like an 87-year-old grandma, and who's been smoking for 70 years.
She made just a wild random appearance in the very first episode that we did.
Wow!
Yeah. And Pixie was just like, that was a grown-ass man. What the hell? So, it's very unique meow.
Sitting in the hallway underneath the bed.
Bring me the tuna. Come on.
She's just doing your taxes.
Bring me the new parts when the tuna, motherfucker. The
feast. Had a long week. Pour some Franzia on it.
Right. Go get me some Sanka.
Or get some,
stand on the fence and meow. I'm in heat.
She couldn't stand on a fence. She would fall.
Yeah.
But hell yeah. This has been super fun. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This was I didn't know what to expect, but I was like, sure, let's do it. You guys are all real. I mean, it's really fun.
Well, yeah,
this isn't an alpha male podcast, so you're safe here, buddy.
Post-production Serrated Mobius here. Out of respect for Zach's time, we went ahead and just told him that we would read all of our premium members' names on our Patreon in post, just so he didn't have to stay for longer than he wanted to. So thank you to all of our premium members on our Patreon: Aaron Alexander, Ansel Fuji, Ashton Green, Ben, Big Blue Caddy, Chat Kid Mango, Cheesy Chap, Chrysler Connection, Devine, Devin Newby, DMAC Yeet, Ellis Chateau, Eric Firestone, 512, Forced User, Ford Tech 1397, Framed Automotive, Hal, Hayden Veals, Jaden Schoonover, Jamie BH 911, Jan Hankey, JJ the Tech, John Montague, Kai Dustpan, Kim Ragsdale, Kyle Olson 25, Level 14, Sports Cars of Sumas, Luna or Zane Cat Eye, Mad Mike, Mad Max 5, Masonite 500, Midwestern Metalhead 03, Mike O'Connor, Mississippi King, Mopar 1966, Nathan, Nicholas Reach, Nick Toomey, Polyester 69, Police 428, Cyan Lion, Keegan John, Sushi Sausage, Spencer Delfo, Spooky Sprouts, Steve Henriquez, Tagarung, The Big Maple, Vubula, William Martin, Woodwood, Elysium Darkness, and Meep Bud in Japanese. Thank you guys so much for your generous contributions to this dumbass show. Thank you for listening to this episode of Flag Time. Again, thank you, Zach, for joining us tonight. Just go listen to The Smoking Tire. It's a good show if you don't listen to it already, which I don't.
You probably already do.
Yeah. If you listen to this show, you probably listen to The Smoking Tire. But yeah, thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.